Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we're recapping a wind-whipped week at Kiawa, where Phil the Thrill came through in the biggest way with a historic victory. We're breaking it all down. The course rocked. The beach was far from pleasant. We get into it all from the PGA Championship, plus Barstool Sports Let Them Play, and we got tidbits from the LPGA as well, plus everything we're tuned into outside of sports. And this week's guest, a very interesting one outside the box here, a semi-pro soccer player, goes by Snappy on social media. He has the wildest golf swing you've ever seen, and we break it all down, plus a tease of episode one of our new food podcast as well. And all of it is brought to you by our friends at Active Body. Mike, I talk about it all the time. It's my quick 5-minute workout with the Active 5 unit. I do it every weekday at 2 o'clock. It's a nice quick way to just stretch out during the middle of the workday, relax, reset, get yourself in a good frame of mind for the rest of your day. It could be part of your daily workout. It could be part of a pre-golf workout. It could be part of anything to get your day going. It's a nice portable device that's easy to use. And our promo code is COL if you want to save 20% off of your Active 5 unit. So check out activebody.com and everything they do. Our promo code COL will get you 20% off your Active 5 unit today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Groove It Golf, and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, Philip Alfred Mickelson, who always seemed to be second fiddle to Tiger Woods.
Yes.
Who, with natural righty, but became a lefty, who is the player of the fans for the fans, who is 50 years old and 11 months, won his sixth major this weekend and became the oldest player to ever win a major championship. Just incredible that we saw Tiger 2 years ago in 2019 return to form, and now we see Phil, who supposedly Tiger just didn't like because he thought he had such pure talent but never had the mental capacity to do what was necessary. Phil showed us that he did over the last 3 years. He did everything he had to do to put himself in a place mentally and physically and is atop the golf world again here. How impressive was this weekend?
Well said. Yeah, what a turn of events here in the last couple of years. How blessed we are as golf fans. It kind of, especially the generation you and I grew up in, we were raised on the Tiger versus Phil rivalry and that being our guys that we looked up to growing up. And now to see the new generation come in, who we love as well in their own separate way, clash with the older generation has been a fantastic dichotomy in golf. So in the last couple of years, we've seen this Tiger Woods renaissance victory at the 2019 Masters, which broke down amazing barriers for him in his 40s when he won. And now Phil to top that with a major championship past the age of 50, Phil the Thrill coming through. And this, you're right, this was truly his moment. You know, Tiger, you know, regardless of everything going on in his life now, was not part of this scene. You know, the new generation was put away. And Phil on 18, as he walked up, could really feel the strength of the fans behind him for this victory.
I mean, COVID be damned, first of all. Let's just get that out of the way. It's officially over.
It feels good. But, it's good to say those words too, Mike, because we were on edge for that.
It's true. But I mean, we all remember the incredible scene when Tiger was walking down 18 at the Tour Championship.
Right. In 2018, which was the precursor to the Masters victory in 2019.
Exactly. And then his incredible win at the Masters in 2019. This scene here at Kiawa this weekend on 18, which there was a complete loss of control of this crowd, where we thought Brooks Koepka was gone. We thought we were never going to see him again. Was just one of the most incredible scenes I think I've ever seen on a golf course. And that Phil did at least say during his press conference that he did allow himself to enjoy that moment, which is fantastic. But at the same time said just how crazy it was. I mean, this was beyond unsafe. And I will say on a side note to all that, PGA's got to figure out how to make sure this doesn't happen again, because that's,
I'm also rush on 18, but you just kind of have to keep them behind the players. I mean, that's not rocket science. They missed that moment. I'm trying to pull up the Phil tweet from a couple weeks ago. It's amazing how just a couple weeks changes time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was talking about, and I'm going to show the nine core value of the week to our friends at First Tee. It's all about perseverance, because a couple weeks ago Phil was kind of down in the dumps. His game has not been in great shape, and we have diatribed that for months now on the course of life about how
we said last week
he needed an exemption just to get in here. We didn't like the state that his game was in. He was going off somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 or 250 to one odds. I did not put that dollar down, by the way. Yeah. I suggested everyone else did, but I hope someone else listened out there and did so. There were some amazing winning tickets out there. But it just goes to show you that a guy with the right perseverance and the right frame of mind can put things together very quickly with the just generational talent that he's had. It's been brewing for him to have a week like this where he was truly the spotlight, and just a wire-to-wire impressive performance from a guy who was just banging it around on the Champions Tour a few months ago. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, we said it. His career is over. We were like, last week, we were saying he got a sponsor exemption to get into the U.S. Open in a month during his birthday.
Not anymore.
He gets in for the next 5 years now. So he's got five chances to finish a career Grand Slam.
Oh, gosh. And we're already talking about the U.S. Open now. I love it.
He was asked about it during his press conference. He was asked, what do you think this means for you in your game? And he said I thought he was very correct in the sense that he didn't know whether this was just a lucky weekend for him and just everything happened to come together at the right time and it won't happen again. He said he was very aware he may never win another tournament again after this.
Very candid.
But at the same time saying now his focus is going to be the U.S. Open and he's going to put everything into it again so that he can still do that, because he knows that he can have a weekend like this and he can win a major tournament again.
That was quite a drug on Sunday, wasn't it? While watching him come down the back nine, a lot of people were tweeting. Shout out to Ryan Ballinger, who was tweeting like, guys, just want to let everyone know we may not take this drug ever again. So enjoy this ride while it lasts. That was quite a weekend following Phil the Thrill of Victory. And he was having fun with it in the post-game pressers as well, too.
Yeah, he was. And it was a fantastic week. And I can't wait to see what happens in a month at the U.S. Open. Let's talk about everything else that happened at the PGA at Kiawah, just up the road from me in South Carolina, just south of Charleston.
The course
just showed itself for what we all know it was. And just why aren't we here every 5 years for a PGA or U.S. Open?
Yeah, it's like maybe throw this on like the Pebble Beach status in terms of regularity. Yeah. Like let's do that because it's a fantastic venue. It's got great history now. When you add together the Ryder Cup, Rory's victory, and now this historic week as well with Phil, lends itself to being a host many more years to come. Maybe even a Ryder Cup coming as well in the next 10 to 15 years, I saw potentially in the cards. It was all about the wind. The wind changed on Sunday. That was a big storyline as well, too. And the, not bunkers, the sandy areas, Mike. You could ground your club. Mm-hmm. It wasn't technically a bunker, but boy, was the sand in play on every single hole.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was. And those sandy areas where you were allowed to practice and ground your club, but there were still some guys that just you couldn't do it. We saw balls plugged on the edge of these sandy areas under the grass, where the best you could do was get it a yard in front of you into just rough. I mean, this course really showed what happens when you aren't accurate to anything. And even if you are accurate to these greens, once those greens dried out and it was windy all week, just forget it. Those balls are gone.
Yeah. I mean, there were guys, from the rough, normally they think you think you can stop or land an 8-iron or a 9-iron on the green. And that absolutely was not the case. I think it was the perfect amount of challenge and also lending itself opportunity. There was a drivable par 4 on Sunday. Birdies were available. 6-under was the winner. I think that is the absolute sweet spot for a major championship in terms of scoring and performance and level of challenge. And shout out to Kiawah. Let's keep that venue around for the future. future.
Let's talk real quick about Will Zalatoris, because he's our favorite guy to talk about. He's not a PGA Tour pro, who probably will never earn his card, who probably should be in the FedEx Cup playoffs, and probably will make the Ryder Cup.
Yes, he will. It's so great. I'm officially crowning Will Zalatoris the greatest Korn Ferry Tour member of all time.
Yes.
I officially have given him GOAT status. I know it's not necessarily the GOAT status that he may want, but he's the most accomplished Korn Ferry Tour member in the history of the game. Bar none now. Another top 10 finish for Will Zalatoris, which, yes, by the way, gets him into next year's PGA Championship in case he didn't already need it. The world ranking ascension continues, and yet still by somewhat weird happenstance and horrible ruling and guidance from the PGA Tour, he is still not technically a member of the tour. We all know that's going to change very eminently, but it's just so funny to see how much Will Zalatoris can accomplish in the world of golf without actually being a member of the biggest tour. It's quite a joke at this point.
Yeah, it's true.
My thought was Olympics next, maybe, Mike. Could he qualify for the Olympics without being a member of the PGA Tour? That would truly be the final feather in his cap, wouldn't it?
That would be... I'd go for that. I'd go for that.
We'll see what happens in a few months with that. But shout out to Will Zalatoris again. Another strong finish for the Happy Gilmore caddy lookalike, getting it done in the major stage.
Crazy. And the crazy week was not contained just to Kiawa, where we had, you know, obviously the biggest golf weekend of the year and maybe of the past several years, going back at least to Tiger. Yeah. There was some golf going on out in Arizona, thanks to Barstool Sports, where there was the Let Them Play Classic.
I'm so glad this happened. Like, yes, we were talking about how pissed we were at the NCAA.
So pissed. I could keep going on again, but I think we got that out.
Yeah, we got that rant out in the last couple episodes regarding them canceling the regionals and not allowing a whole bunch of schools to play, and women's college golf programs essentially being ended. Thankfully, Barstool Sports stepped in and they were able to host a tournament in the interim this past week out in Arizona at Whirlwind, home course of our friends of the show, Frederick Lindblom and Hannah Gregg as well, too. Mm-hmm. So they were out there catching the action. And it was great to see our Quinnipiac Bobcats in action. Mm-hmm. And just to give the seniors that last opportunity to tee it up and just that one more moment to come together as a team and play in competition. It was a great moment. Pretty emotional, honestly, kind of watching it all go down, and just glad to see that last drop of golf was there for those teams that did not qualify. Yeah,
I'm going to be a little bit of a Debbie Downer here. I didn't appreciate how much Barstool seemed to be patting themselves on the back. I mean, yes, this was an incredible accomplishment that they were able to put this together so quickly and put this on. And they did a lot of incredible things during these couple days in Arizona for these kids. And it's just they deserve credit. But they did a lot of patting on the back
Barstool, yes. Not shying away from the credit one bit when the moment is right. Thanks for the resources. Yeah, regardless. Hey, you know who does need to pat himself on the back? Is the Mean Green. You're familiar
with that.
North Texas Mean Green. For winning it all.
That's right.
By the way.
My wife's alma mater for her grad degree. Yeah.
Very cool. So shout out to the Mean Green for winning the Let Them Play Classic. Glad to see that those seniors and those lady college golfers got that one last opportunity.
Yep. There was the LPGA going on this weekend as well. They were, speaking of my wife, they were in Williamsburg, Virginia, where my wife's family
connections.
Yeah,
connections here. So beautiful course, too. I love seeing it. And people don't realize about Virginia, specifically the part you and I know as well, too, is there are actually waterside courses in Virginia. You can get some really nice scenery in Virginia when you get to certain parts of the state, and Kings Mill is no exception to that. So it was a really cool venue for an event that's been around for a while in the LPGA.
That's right. The Pure Silk Championship presented by Visit Williamsburg. That's a mouthful. And the winner was Weiling Su.
Nice work.
Did I say it right?
On the pronunciation there.
There we go. See, not as difficult as who finished number two. So,
and you won't even say, right? You
didn't know. No. But Jessica Korda, number three, quarter sister. So there you go.
I saw Tiffany Joe had a decent week as well, too. Another former guest who wanted to shout out on the podcast as well. And looking forward to the LPGA summer season as well. They're getting their major championships up and going real soon here in the next few weeks. So a lot more lady golf to come.
A lot more to come indeed. Let's take a look at what's coming up this next weekend at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, where it It all restarted last year. You remember that?
Remember us doing a nice some live streams as we watched Daniel Berger victorious with no fans in a very eerie sight in Fort Worth, Texas. And now here we are, just a little under a year later. We're back, and it's ironically full circle now. First tournament now with no mask requirements anywhere for players, fans, staff, anything like that. We're fully vaccinated, so it's nice to see the tours officially turn the corner. And Colonial, just a nice classic Ball Strikers, short course Texas venue with a lot of history. So it's always a good week.
We are recording this on a Monday morning, so the field is likely to change around a lot between now and then. But just throw out a name for me. Who do you think? Just throw out a name.
I mean, I'm looking at Jordan Spieth. I'm looking. He played decently. He didn't have a great Sunday at the PGA, but he had a good week overall, striking it better. Recent winner. Hard to stay away from Texas guys. Again, I go back to this Texas bias, just like we did a couple weeks ago. So you may be back on Aaron Wise. I may be back on Sebastian Munoz. I may be back on Ryan Palmer. If you're from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, chances are I'm looking at placing a dollar on you this week.
You take Aaron Wise's 79 on Friday out of his weekend, and he had a great week.
And shout out to Sebastian Munoz hitting the shot of the week last week. A slam dunk into a trash can on the 18th hole at Kiawah.
Yes.
I don't think anyone hit a more impressive shot, maybe outside of Phil Mickelson or something.
He meant to do it that way, too. Yeah. He meant that.
Good
he meant
stuff.
To do it. Yeah. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we're tuning into what we do or tune into outside of the world of sports, because, you know, we do have lives, supposedly.
Yes, we do. It was a crazy, crazy sports weekend for anyone who's just kind of now recapping it. Because we're at the stage where we have full baseball. We've got full NBA and NHL playoffs going. We've got golf. So there's a lot to preoccupy you on that realm.
But it's summer.
The award shows are still going. So I'm always catching those.
Ugh. I'm sorry.
This one is the Billboard Music Awards. Now, this one I actually appreciate because they realize that they are not a preeminent award show, really, even in the music space at all. What they are is a great, basically, concert show. And essentially, this was just like a glorified concert outside. So they just cram in as many musical guests as they can to perform live, which is fun. And they really minimize the amount of actual awards they give away. Basically, The Weeknd won every single award because he basically boycotts the Grammys. So the Billboard's like, here, come on over here. We'll give you all the awards. So you can get up on stage as much as you want. My highlight performance tonight, it was nice to see Pink on stage, Mike. A good performer that's been around for over 20 years now. She was flying up over the stage just like she always does. So shout out to Pink and the Billboards.
Just good for you. You and your music awards. Good for you. I was listening to music this week, though.
Yeah, who?
I was. I said this a couple months ago when I saw that Bleachers had some new singles coming out. They won Bruce Springsteen. They just released another single. They have pre-orders up for their new album. So I pre-ordered their new album. So I've been blasting their new single. I haven't had any coffee yet this morning, so that's why I can't talk.
Okay.
New single from Bleachers, Take the Sadness Out.
Good stuff. And I've seen the Bleachers live once way back in the day when they first formed as a band, almost like a decade ago now. Really, really dating myself. I think they're doing the festival circuit this fall. They might be coming to Austin City Limits in October here. So might have another opportunity to see them live as well, too. But a fan. Fan of the Bleachers. Fan of fun as well, too. So good stuff from Tuned In. And that's what we're tuned into outside of the world of sports. It's time for this week's guest.
Yeah, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, we've talked a lot, and I think every single golfer in the world has tried to Happy Gilmore before.
Yes, I have. I am probably on a 1 to 10 scale. I'm about a 3 at it. I can make decent contact, but it's going to take a few swings before I hit one good.
Yeah. Yeah. And we thought we'd seen every different way to swing a golf club up until now, but the internet never disappoints.
Yes. Well put. Yeah. And that's exactly how I found this week's guest. He goes by Snappy, real name Eliezer, as well, a semi-pro soccer player who's on Instagram, _KVNG_Snappy. I'm telling you to go there now as we get this week's interview queued up for you, because his swing is so unique. We talk it through in the interview, and it's amazing how little golf snappy has played as well. We get into all that, break down the crazy swing and more with the newest viral sensation in the game.
It's gonna be a fun one. But first, as always, we want to let you know that this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Desert Fox team is based in Arizona, so they know golf, and the Phone Caddy is crafted by both golfers and engineers. The Phone Caddy is unique because it mounts right onto your golf cart in seconds in a place where you can actually see and use your phone. You can keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy from Desert Fox. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times, and it works with almost any phone model, which means it's great for dad. And Father's Day is right around the corner. It's that time. So get a Phone Caddy from Desert Fox for your dad. Save 10% when you use our promo code COURSEOFLIFE. So save money. That way you can afford, I don't know, one for yourself. You know, one for your dad, one for you. So you each have one. Yeah, that's the way to do it, right? Yeah. So again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE for 10% off at desertfoxgolf.com. Get yourself and your dad a Phone Caddy, lots of colors, patriotic line as well, so you can show your support. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE for 10% off at desertfoxgolf.com. Father's Day around the corner. Go get your Phone Caddy from Desert Fox.
Next up on the tee, we've got a semi-pro soccer player who recently went viral for swinging a golf club like I've never seen before. So we have him here to join us. It's Eliezer Paul Gundiri joining the Course of Life. How you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Absolutely. I'm doing great. It's fantastic to have you on the show. Eliezer, a.k.a. Snappy. It's underscore KVNG underscore Snappy on Instagram, where I first found you. But I want to get into that soccer background that I mentioned first. So tell me about your background in soccer. Have you been playing your whole life?
Absolutely not. I just started playing about 3 years ago.
Wow. Okay. I moved out here. Very cool. Awesome. So how did you stumble into soccer? So you just started playing the last few years.
So I used to play basketball, and then when I moved out here, I realized the competition is really high, and I'm not really that tall, so it's going to be hard for me to get into the league. So I figured out I had to change my sports and pick another ball sports. So the closest thing I could think of that I was good at, let's say, would be soccer. So I just started playing soccer, and I was pretty athletic, and people told me, hey, you can go to the next level and you should just try. I was like, okay, sounds good. And I was just pushing from then, and it got me to where I am right now.
Love that. So you're now playing in California. Where did you originally move to California from?
Nigeria.
Very cool. Okay. So in terms of the soccer background now, what's your playing status? So what team are you on now? You post a lot of training videos in addition to the golf content of what you're doing and what you're working on with your soccer as well, too. What's your current playing status?
Currently, I'm playing with a semi-pro team here in the Bay Area. It's called Contra Costa FC.
Very cool. Nice. What position are you?
I'm a striker.
All right, nice. Putting the ball in the net, that's what we all need, right?
Absolutely.
Love that. Cool. Yeah, I'm getting a lot more into the soccer myself. I played growing up, but I'm here in Austin, Texas, and we just got a new MLS team that's getting going right now. So there's a lot of excitement around soccer where I am. It's good to see that you're enjoying yourself out in California as well. So let's talk about golf now. You said you've only been playing soccer for a few years, but you've played lots of different sports. When did you first touch a golf club? Did you ever play golf as a kid?
Never
did. Nice. So how long ago was it when you first swung a golf club?
I think it was in my first video. It was about 2 months ago.
So the game is brand new to you. Have you played a full 18 hole round yet on a course?
No, all I do is just go to the range and just mess around with my friend.
Oh man, that makes this even more exciting. So I'm even more intrigued now. So if you haven't gone to the Instagram yet, again, it's underscore KVNG underscore Snappy. First off, let's just talk about the swing and the way you swing the club. Do we have a name for this swing yet? Because the way you swing the club is unique to anything I've ever seen. I've been around golf for over 25 years of my life now. What do people call it, and what do they say when they see you swing a golf club?
everybody just say Happy Gilmore, and I'm like, oh, I'm not even like that. And they just keep calling me Happy Gilmore. But I haven't really found a name for it, but I think that should be a next step. I should probably find a name for it.
Yeah, I got a couple suggestions for you, because the way you kind of like whip the club, I feel like you could call it like maybe the double whip or something like that, or maybe like the lasso, like if you're a cowboy kind of wrangling like animal out there or something like that. It's indescribable the way you kind of whip the club around. I'm curious, how did you start swinging like that? Did you see somebody else do that, or was that just kind of like an inclination you had to swing the club like that?
I've never seen anybody do it before. So when I got to the golf course, my friend, I was actually not going to go that night. And my friends were like, you haven't hung out with us in a while, so like, you got to come out today. I was like, okay. But I don't know how to play golf. I was like, yeah, it's okay. They'll teach me. I was like, okay. And then when I got there, my friend handed me the club, and it was a driver. And I was like, how do I use this? He was like, just hold it with two hands. Keep your left arm straight and just swing through. I was like, okay. And then I held it and it just didn't feel right. I was like, I don't think this is right. And then I just decided to use one hand and I whipped it so hard. I was like, what in the world? And my friends were like, no way. Like, how did you do that? And they was like, do it again. And then I did it again and it worked. I was like, what? So I was shocked. I was surprised. I was like, how is this even possible? And then from there, I tried using two hands. I just couldn't. I just kept on hitting the ground. Now, like, I can't use two hands, but I can use one hand, which is amazing.
Interesting. Yes, so, I love that. So yeah, you swing with one hand, and essentially the typical golf swing is you bring the club to the top, you know, maybe parallel pointing to the target, and then you just bring it back down again. But essentially what you do is you get a little bit more momentum and a lot more club head speed by doing kind of that extra whip where you bring it around in a circle. And what you're doing is you're gaining so much more energy than the average person swinging a golf club, which is why you're able to hit like that. You seem pretty surprised in some of the early videos. What was kind of your first reaction when you started hitting the bombs on the driving range?
I was like, wow, like, how is this even possible? Because I was hitting like balls over 200 yards. And my friends are like, no way. Like, they've been doing this for so long and they can't hit that far. And how am I doing that? I'm like, I don't even know. I really have no idea. It's amazing. I guess it's a talent.
It took me about 5 or 10 years to start hitting the ball as far as you did playing the game of golf growing up. You got there in about 5 or 10 minutes. So you hit it a couple different ways, I noticed. So primarily when you hit your best drives and you really get a hold of it, do you notice that it goes left to right in ball flight, or does it kind of start right and start curving left?
The best ones is the one that curved towards from the left to the right. Mm. Those ones are the good ones. Like, I literally feel it, like, when I smack the ball. It's a different feeling. And I'm just like, yep, that's the one.
Yeah, it's nice and consistent. I'm curious to see, because I know there were some you posted where you were able to get the ball to move right to left. Now, golfers know that if you move the ball right to left like you do, you're going to get a lot more distance. I'm really curious how far some of the longest drives have gone. From what I understand, though, you don't know too much about the distances and the numbers and the science behind the swing. Have you had anyone kind of like look at your swing from a statistics standpoint yet?
No, actually, everybody have been telling me to go to Top Golf and try it out. And this morning I was looking to see if I could schedule something over there. But I think it's all taken pretty much. So
yeah. Yeah, it's tough to get to Top Golf these days. It's a pretty busy place. I'm lucky I got one right down the street from me here in Austin that I could get to easily. But yeah, you would surprise a lot of people if you brought that swing there. I know the friends at the range were really surprised. What are some of the best reactions that you get from not just your friends, maybe just people walking by and seeing you swing for the first time?
Yeah, people just walk by and be like, yo, like, how do you do that? And they try to get me on video and ask me, like, is it fine if they get me on video? I'm like, yeah, sure. And yeah, they're just like, they've never seen something like that. Like, that's just amazing.
I'm going to let you brag for a second, because I know the question that everyone's asking is, yeah, but can he do it consistently? Can he hit it that well more than once? And I know you got proof of that, because you posted some videos of a range session where you hit about 10 of them in a row and they all looked exactly the same. So I was impressed with that the most.
Yeah. I had that. I had a lot of comments actually on TikTok where people were like, oh, well, can he do it like consistently? And I was like, okay, well, I guess there's only one way to prove that. And I was like, okay, I'll just make a video and show you guys. And I did, and they couldn't say anything. They was like, okay, that's it.
Love that. Again, it's Eliezer joining us, semi-pro soccer player. He goes by _KVNG_snappy on Instagram, with just a one-of-a-kind golf swing. I guarantee if you're listening right now, you've never seen a golf club swung like this before. Let's get into some random questions regarding your swing, your life, and everything else going on with you. As far as playing the game of golf, you said you've never been out on a course to play a full round. What's your attitude towards that? Do you think you want to try that soon, or do you think you need some more practice with the rest of the game?
I will really like to try it out, because everybody's talking about it. I don't even know how it works, but you know, I'm open to learn.
I wonder if you can hit the wedges and the shorter shots with that swing. That's what I'm going to be curious to see, if you can figure out how to do that. It could be really special if you're able to do that with every club. So I'll be following along the journey to see if you do. One other question I had for you, a couple of random people in golf that I saw follow you. Do you have any idea who Rich Beam is? Does that name familiar to you at all?
Rich Beam.
It's okay if it's not, man. I wanted to introduce you to him because he follows you on Instagram. Rich Beam, he's a major champion. He's won several times on the PGA Tour. He's a professional golfer. He does broadcasting on the Golf Channel now, and he does follow you on Instagram. So be sure to look him up, because I want him to give you a shout out sometime on the broadcast. He's a really cool guy in the game of golf.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I got a lot of followers recently, so I don't even really know who is who, you know?
Yeah, he's Beamer PGA is his handle. So check him out, because he's a really cool personality. He's on TV all the time, professional golfer with a lot of success. And I noticed he was following you as well. I'm curious, what are your goals? Let's go for both sports now. First off, I know you're big into soccer right now. What's kind of your soccer goal, whether it's for the season you're in right now or just this upcoming year in general?
My goals are becoming a professional soccer player. I actually just had a tryout this past 3 days for AX Soccer. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. It's for MLS, USL, and probably teams in Europe. So my team sent me out there. They chose a couple of players on our team, like five of us, and they sent us out there. So I think I did pretty good. I'm just going to wait for the feedback in about a week to see if I could get like a tryout with a pro team or get signed.
Love that.
Yeah, man. That's my dream, you know.
One day, hopefully I'll see you at that brand new stadium here in Austin, playing for Austin FC. That'd be a nice dream to have, right?
Yeah, that would be great.
Love that. And then as far as golf, I know you mentioned you haven't hit the course yet. You got a lot of eyes on trying to go to Topgolf, get some numbers for what you're doing with the golf club. Do you have any goals, like golf-wise? Do you want to, you know, just complete 18 holes first? Do you have, you know, something in mind specifically you want to do in golf now that you've kind of found this new fame with your swing?
Yeah, people have been telling me to like actually try and get into it. So I'm thinking of just having it as like my second sport. So, you know, I have soccer and golf together. I think that would be pretty good. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity out there. I know there's lots of fun golf events and people that would love to see you swing that club at different golf events. It would be a crowd pleaser for sure. Let's end with our 19th hole question. We love talking to all our guests about like their favorite meal or drink that they love to have when they finish a round of golf or a day training or anything like that. So after a long day at work, whether it's soccer or golf for you, what's like your absolute favorite meal and maybe drink to have?
This might be funny, but most of the time we just stop by like at a fast food, like In-N-Out or something. right after we finish playing. So yeah, that's pretty much what I do, like right after I play.
Oh yeah, I'll usually go a double-double, maybe animal style fries, and I mix up the drink, but I like the lemonade there.
Yeah, cause I don't drink soda, so I just get water because of my sports and stuff.
Yeah,
just to stay out and all that.
Probably better for you. That's a good California answer there with the In-N-Out. Shout out to In-N-Out Burger, love that. Hey, Eliezer, thank you so much for hopping on Course of Life, man. I appreciate what you're bringing to the game. It's cool to see people rethink the way golf is, and that's what we're all about, is bringing golf to everyone on this podcast. So thank you for joining again, and looking forward to seeing where the swing takes you.
Oh man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
That interview with Eliezer, aka Snappy, is brought to you by our friends at Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush. You've seen it on the bags of tour caddies, your favorite athletes, golf personalities on social media, and it's the brush to get on your dad's bag for the rest of this 2021 golf season. Father's Day is around the corner, and this brush is great for your dad. It's got a patented pump that sprays water or cleaning solution right onto the club face for you, making it quick and efficient to clean clubs or even a golf ball in seconds. The Groovit brush includes a detachable magnet, so your dad can bring that brush with him across the fairway during cart path only days and clean his club when he gets into the mud. And it comes with a three-year bristle guarantee. So if your dad wears out the brush head in 3 years, which is highly doubtful, because, you know, he plays, but he doesn't play that much. And let's be honest. Send it back. Groovit will get you a free replacement. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control that Cling Grooves will give you. Using your existing clubs with the Groovit, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for, and your dad will be happy, and maybe he won't swear as much out on the golf course. And while swearing is nice, it's just nice to have, you know, time with your dad when he's not angry.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's probably not going to happen, but at least he'll have clean clubs. So head on over to GrooveItBrush.com. Get your Groovit brush for your dad with free shipping in the U.S. Again, that's GrooveItBrush.com to get your Groovit brush today. And we're back. Great chat there with Snappy. Just an incredible swing. I can putt with one hand. I don't know if I would really try this because I'd be afraid I'd toss the club and never see it again.
I need a wide open range to try this, but yeah. I am looking forward to attempting it at some time, maybe on video. I don't know. TBD.
Maybe.
We'll figure it out. The swing is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I threw out a couple of nicknames there. I think it was the double whip was one I had. I had the lasso as well, too. Yep. I'm just fascinated with the way he like twirls the club at the top. That's the part that really gets me going. And just the idea that he hasn't actually gone out to like a golf course yet. I felt like I was like stumbling upon gold like for the first time. I need to see what this actually looks like on a golf course. I know he's just getting going in the game, but it was really cool to chat with Eliezer. And again, his videos are starting to circulate everywhere. I just saw him in a commercial during the PGA Championship coverage this past weekend. So just goes to show you could truly can make golf your thing no matter what type of swing you have. And it was neat to have him join the show.
It's crazy. And if you like that interview plus everything else we do here, make sure you rate us on your podcast app. You subscribe on all of your podcast apps, all of them, because we want to pad our numbers. Follow us on YouTube so you can see our videos. Either you can watch the podcast on YouTube or you can watch some of the other stuff we do there because we do other stuff.
Yeah, I got some more vlogs coming your way, Mike. I played some more rounds, so we're going to get those up soon. And then, like, you may have just found us on the internet and clicked a random link. Like, we're on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. We're on YouTube. So, like, go to those apps right now. Give us a subscribe and a rating and appreciate you sticking around.
We really do. I'm not going to say anything bad this week. I just appreciate all of you and everything you do.
That Phil victory is just still kind of smiling. I don't know why. That came out of nowhere. It really did. I was not ready for the storyline this week.
I'm going to be walking through the grocery store this week. I'm just gonna be giving thumbs up to random people.
My wife was enamored with the thumbs up. And by the way, very dangerous drinking game. If you start taking a sip every time Phil puts a thumbs up,
you'd be wasted before he even reaches the first tee.
He is a fan favorite, like we said. Shout out to Phil.
Let's do a quick whip around here on some of the other sports that were going on this past week. Let's talk baseball because we had two no hitters this week.
The base hit's dead, Mike.
Yeah, it's over. It's the year of the pitcher. It's here. We had the Yankees got a no hitter, the first no hitter or better for the Yankees since I think it was David Cone's perfect game. And then
David Wells had that perfect game back in the day too. Good memories. Remember that.
Yeah. So Corey Kluber got a perfect game, and that was right after I think it was Spencer Turnbull had his no hitter. Yes. So we had two no hitters in a row, and we now have seven on the season.
Yeah, I mean, people are trying to make this a bigger, greater conversation about like the direction hitting is going and what are the analytics teaching our hitters to do. And I think there's just a really dominant display of pitching right now, and it's early in the season. And we're just catching guys with some impressive performances. I don't read as much into this as some other baseball fans might.
And this yo-yos. You have years where pitchers have really good years, and you have years where it's all about the hitter. The game yo-yos. This just looks like it's going to be a pitcher's year. So we'll go with it.
Good stuff. Quick basketball update on my end. Yeah. NBA playoffs are here. We did get that Steph Curry, LeBron play-in game. Mm-hmm. Lakers emerged. Warriors did not. They're going to struggle in their series. The Celtics are going to struggle in their series. The Knicks just got buzzer beat in their first playoff game at Madison Square Garden. But it was nice to just hear the roar of the fans back at these NBA playoff games this past weekend.
COVID's over. We said it at the beginning, COVID's over, in case you thought it.
I mean, you forget what those roars are like. That's also a very unique roar, is the roar of a made three-pointer in an NBA stadium. That's a very unique pop in terms of like a crowd noise that I hadn't heard in a while. So it's good to hear those vibes back.
It's true. Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, brought to you by our friends at Toasty Snacks, makers of Toasty Bites and Super Bites. Just had mine on the course last weekend on the 10th tee. It's a great golf snack. They're in over 100 courses across the country, but you can get yours right now at toasty.com/COL. Our promo code is COL20 for 20% off as well. Toasty.com/COL. A weird food came at us on the internet because the internet just provides these stupid, silly flavor combinations that nobody asked for. Oh. And this week, Mike, was French's mustard emerging with a mustard flavored ice cream. Is this real?
I'm getting sick just thinking about it again.
Yeah.
Yes, it's real. Supposedly it tastes like a salted caramel ice cream. But
if they spin it like that, I see it, but I don't know.
The color though.
Yeah, and just the idea of eating mustard, like it's kind of like a little sickness inducing as well too. I don't like the idea of the flavor of mustard by itself. Mustard needs to be paired with two or three other things in your mouth. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work by itself. I'm very hesitant to try something like this.
Yeah, you know, it was. It's not something I'm interested in ever seeing or smelling or tasting.
Seems like a bit of just kind of a PR play for the moment. But if we spot it in stores, or you spot it in stores out there, shoot us a tweet. I'm at Course of Life One and you're at MWRINC. I'd like to see if it does actually hit the shelves.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if it does. I also want to touch on, as we always end with food, something that Phil Mickelson said at the end of his press conference.
Oh, nice.
We're going to do a little bookend here. Yeah. Nice
book. I like this.
He was asked, one of the last questions was, he was asked, what has he had to give up to commit himself to getting back in shape mentally and physically in order to be at this level of play again? And before the question was even done, he was like, food. I can't eat it. I can't eat as much of it. I can't eat all the stuff I want to eat. I got to be healthy. It's like, I want to eat more food.
That's tremendously sad. And that's just a sign of the time for him. It's what he's got to do. And this is like things I started to notice in my 30s already. Like, I can't eat quite the same way I used to. I feel him on that. It's got to be upsetting. It definitely does.
Yeah, you can't have McDonald's 3 days a week anymore, Alex. Yeah,
I don't know if I'm quite willing to pay the price for greatness that he is.
If you had that kind of talent available to you, I think you would be.
Quite maybe. You know? I know he's worked out his superpowered coffee, which is like full of healthy things and like 40 ingredients.
We're going to have to get some of that just to try it now.
There's K-Cups as well, too. He brings them on the road. So
there we go.
That might be the next try for us in terms of a taste test. But shout out to Phil and curbing back his diet to be great. Speaking of food, though, we have to tease the fact that Always End With Food, our food podcast, which is brand new, follow at Always End With Food Pod on IG, is premiering this week, as you're listening right now, this Friday, May 28th, episode 28. One. Mike, you're excited. Yep. You ready to do this?
Oh, I'm so excited. We don't know what the episode is going to be like yet, but we know who's on the podcast. We know who's going to be on the podcast. And you know, we love barbecue and you are in like a barbecue capital of the world in Austin.
Yes. Shout out to me being in Austin, Texas, because Texas barbecue is just amazing. I can't believe it took me 22 years to stumble upon this, but I'm glad I'm here for the long haul now because we have a great pit master from Austin joining the show with a very unique spin on barbecue as well. It's our friend Kareem from KGBBQ. You can follow them on Instagram. Get excited for him to be this week's guest on the debut episode of Always End With Food. So again, it's the Always End With Food pod. That episode's going to be out Friday. Mikey's got the pop-up again that I went to last month this weekend. I think I might go there. So look out for an Instagram live maybe. We'll coordinate that this week and I might hang out with him. Actually do a little live brisket cutting maybe on Instagram for our friends out there. So be sure to follow us as well on Twitter, Instagram. You can get more information on that as well. But excited to get the food pod going. Thank you to everyone listening to this week's Portion of Life as well too. And we'll be back next week with a new episode. Cheers.